And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, December 2nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
December 2nd, counting the days. 2017 is just around the corner, and
2016 is almost behind
history.
Us.
It's history. Well, gold.
I have mixed emotions about that, Melody. I don't mind 2017 being right around the corner, but as you get more and more years behind you, you begin to think,
There's fewer in front of you.
Cling to the ones we have a little more tightly than.
There's fewer in front of us, I should say.
Yeah.
To all of us. But anyway, we enjoy every day we can, and it's a beautiful day here on in the eastern shore of Maryland. It's been an incredible fall, just a beautiful fall. Warm temperatures, a little windy, I could take that away, but other than that, very, very mild fall. So hopefully winter will be the same, but gold, it didn't do any historical moves today, but we were up 390 on gold, 390 on gold today at 1176.50. Gold, silver's up 20 cents at 1678. That was a nice move for silver, up over 1%. Platinum was up 13. That was up almost 1.5% at 933. And palladium was down 9 at $746. Didn't have an opportunity. It's been a hectic 2 days of December, so I didn't get a chance to see what crude oil did today. Oh, it's 51.62, up 0.56. A little pressure on the dollar, 0.17 at 100.72. And the paper markets today was another market I didn't have the opportunity to follow, which I normally do, so we will both be surprised, as the many listeners. The Dow was down 20 points. 19,170. NASDAQ was up 4 at 52.55. The S&P basically unchanged, 21.91. 10-year yield, 2.39%. That dropped up 0.05. Euro, 107. That was also down. Interesting to see that down at the same time that the dollar was. And foreign markets were pretty much flat. It doesn't seem London and Germany are too concerned about Italy, because basically they were unchanged overnight. A lot of hoopla about Italy and possible bank failures with a referendum coming up this weekend, but the markets didn't show it. Even ours didn't react, and of course they're blaming the increase of gold has a reflection to what's possible coming. $3. Okay. But you know what, Al? It's one of these situations when nobody's paying any attention to it.
Are you talking about gold or are you talking about Italy?
Italy, the referendum. No one's paying any attention to it.
I think it's a Sunday, isn't that right?
Yes. Gold isn't responding or anything. No, $3. Those are usually the events that make a difference. So we'll see. And we do get to the point. We have all these things that are coming to dates and changes in the way the world works, how the world's monetary system works, is changing. The cliff close to the collapse. And then when these events happen, the world just doesn't seem to care. They will care one of these days, but
when
something really happens.
Yeah, I know.
Today we did have, let's see, what happened today? Well, I guess U.S. hiring picked up last month in November. The unemployment rate tumbled to a 9-year low on a drop in the number of people in the workforce, and wages unexpectedly declined. They show a 178,000 gain, followed a 142,000 rise in October, and they did revise that down. So the real number in October was 142,000, and in November was 178,000. Everyone was predicting about 108. The jobless rate fell to 4.6%. Average hourly earnings fell by 0.1% from the prior month to $25.89. And this is the first decline since December of 2014. The average work week for all workers was unchanged at 34.4 hours. The participation rate, which shows the share of working age people in the labor force, that decreased to 62.7% last month. And we all know that that's still been hovering near the lowest level since 1978. The total number of working age Americans not in the labor force increased to 95.1 million, up 446,000. And this is one of the important numbers. Of course, we haven't talked about John Williams lately, but the underemployment rate, when that includes the part-time workers who want to work full-time position and people who want to work but have given up, that is at 9.3%. And again, this is the lowest since April 2008. But really, it compares with the 8.4% in November of 2007. And if everybody remembers, that was a so-called month before the recession began. So really wasn't, you know, anything in there that wasn't anticipated. So, and I did want to make an announcement for the 2017 the year 2017 American Silver Eagles and American Gold Eagles. We will begin accepting orders for those next week. Now, you have to remember, even though I can take orders and lock in the price for you, if you're looking for the 2017 American Eagles series, the gold and silver, the U.S. Mint cannot release them until January. So the whole order would be processed as usual, but shipment wouldn't begin till about the middle of January.
And the mint will go along with the price that you're quoting right now, even though they're going to sit on it till January before they fulfill the order.
We will lock in the price.
Is the mint locking in also?
Well, there's ways of doing it, Al, that I don't want to explain here on the program. But you know, okay. we all hedge ourselves. For any future rises and so forth. So with the mint, you basically have two wholesalers, and we all hedge ourselves against any increase in pricing and so forth. So my suppliers do, their suppliers do. So, you know, we lock you in. What's interesting is usually a lot of the dealers out there will charge bigger premiums. We don't. You know, it's going to be the same price as the 2016. You know, just wait till, you know, so it depends if you're interested in the 2017s. But they did make that announcement, as I mentioned earlier in the week. I would let you know once I had something. They did stop the production for the 1 ounce silver bullion coins and the American Buffalo 1 ounce bullion coins. Remaining 2016 inventories will be sold until depleted. And they do not release how many 2016 bullion coins remain in inventory. So, you know, we just don't know. We keep selling until we run out. Considering we had such a slow summer, I doubt that they're going to run out prior. It depends on what happens in the rest of the month. If something happens with Italy this weekend, yeah, they could be gone next week. So, so as long as nothing exciting happens like that, you know, we should be okay for product. Let's see anything else. The American Eagle Platinum Bullion Coins. The information on the sales of those will be provided at a later date. And they have not, the U.S. Mint have not disclosed whether the Platinum Coins will be offered without mintage restrictions or in limited numbers like they were in 2016. There were only 20,000 American Eagle Platinum Bullion Coins that were offered in 2016 and all were sold. So that should be just, and that also applies for all the fractional pieces also. All the four sizes of the coins. And what's interesting too is, I think it was July that they took the allocations off. There's usually restrictions to the dealers on how much product they can purchase. You know, dealer A can have so many, dealer B can have so many, dealer C can have only so many, dealer D can only have so many. Well, they took that restriction off. So we've been selling without any allocations. So again, that kind of gives you a little more difficult, you know, prediction what the month could hold to see if there was product available later on in the month. So if you're looking to buy, particularly those who have IRAs, if you're looking to get into the end of the year before, well, actually you have up until April, but usually a lot of people begin looking at taxes and so forth and how they can move things around at the end of the year. Remember, they are precious metals, gold and silver IRAs available to you. So if you're looking to do that by the end of the year, I would do so. But there's other product available if there was problems with the American Gold Eagle or Silver Eagle series. So
I got an article here from Market Slant. It's just interesting to me, a little brief comment. The headline is Trump to make debt great again. It said, yesterday, Trump's Secretary of the Treasury appointee Steve Mnuchin stated longer-term treasuries were on the table. Now, we talked about this last week in Greece, where they had a couple of cities in Greece.
And we talked about it this week, too.
Did we talk about it this week?
Well, I mentioned that Mnuchin said that they were going to extend the maturity dates on the treasuries. We didn't go into detail, though.
Well, with that, the point I want to make here is they're in Greece, we talked about it last week, I believe, it was three cities where the debt was extended. You get a bond from the city, municipal bond, but one of them would be a little over 100 years for the bond, and another one was over 200 years before the bond had to be paid off, and the third one was 2,192 years. Take out a bond, and it won't be payable for another two millennia. All right? Well, that sounds crazy, but it's the sort of thing that you look at and say, well, yes, that would maybe the Italians, they do, you know, the Italians are a little bit strange. You can explain. Here we have Donald Trump's Secretary of Treasury appointee, Steve Mnuchin. He says, we're going to maybe do longer-term treasuries on the table in this country also. That says interest rates are going to stay low for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That means that Janet Yellen or whoever winds up being chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve System, she's not going to raise rates significantly. They're going to stay down probably less than 1%, maybe in the vicinity of 0.5%, I don't know, 0.75%. There's a good chance they'll stay below 1%, 1% or below, for the course, if we can believe Mr. Mnuchin, for the course of the next 1-2 years. And the first point. And then among other initiatives, he said, we'll look at potentially extending the maturity of the debt, because eventually we're going to have higher interest rates, and that's something that this country is going to need to deal with. And he's saying, when finally we get away from these low interest rates, we're going to have to give them up sooner or later. And when we do, it's going to create a big problem. He says it's something the country is going to need to deal with. He's saying this is going to be big trouble. He doesn't come out and use those words, but you read the link between the lines, that's what he's talking about. And it goes on, it said, asked if he would consider maturities as long as 50 or 100 years. Mnuchin said, we'll take a look at everything. So what's that mean when they consider maturities instead of a 10-year bond? Or even a 30-year bond, they're considering issuing bonds that have a maturity of 50 years or even 100 years. What's that mean? It means we are in a world of what can't be paid won't be paid. They're saying, why don't you lend us money right now that anyone in their right mind would say, well, I'd like to be paid back in 10 years or maybe 30 years, but no more. No, we'll give you a 50-year bond or a 100-year bond. Why? Because they don't think they can pay the debt. That's what it is. This is an expression of insolvency. If someone's going to borrow money from you and repay you next week or next month or even next year, that's a reasonable amount of time. 5 years, maybe, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, yeah, you know. When we talk about 50 years, on a bond, we're talking about it. You could take a bond out today, and you're going to have to live 50 years to collect on it. That's crazy. And 100 years, a 100-year bond. I mean, this is just absolutely bizarre. But what it is evidence that the government knows they're insolvent. They want to be able to borrow more money, but they don't want to have to repay it anytime soon. And the only way they can get around the problem they have, which is too much debt and probably not enough access to credit, they're going to have to try to bamboozle people into accepting, oh, we'll pay you, but not right now. Maybe I'll have the money for you in 50 years, cross my heart and hope to die. That's like giving government money. When you calculate the amount of inflation that's almost certain to happen over that 50 years, this isn't a loan. This is a gift. Here, let me give you $100,000, Uncle Sam. Let me give you $1 million, Barack. Let me give you $1 billion. And you don't have to pay me back for 50 or 100 years. It's evidence that the country is in significant trouble, and the incoming Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, he understands that we can't pay our bills right now. All right? And that's why they're looking for longer maturities. They can maintain the illusion, oh, you can trust us, whoop, whoop, you know we're good for it. We'd rather owe it to you than cheat you out of it. That's essentially what these extended maturities, they're an expression of that idea. We'll borrow your money, we're not going to pay it back, maybe in your lifetime, but we're not going to cheat you out of it. You can count on us to pay you back in 50 years, 100 years. Come on. I mean, who knows what's even going to be here in 50 or 100 years, as fast as this world is changing. And I look at this, and they're going to do this. They're going to put out bonds that have a 50-year, 100-year maturity. They'll do it sooner or later. I don't know that they'll do it immediately, how soon this is going to happen. But they'll do it. It's almost certain to happen. And it's simply an expression saying, we got to have the money now, but we don't have the means to repay it in the near future. That has to make people anxious, nervous. It's got to make you wary. Got to sit back and say, you know, I better put my wealth into something that'll stand the test of time. Because there's no way of knowing that these bonds are going to be good for 50 or 100 years. And even if they are, what good is it going to do you? It might do something for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. But by the time you get done with inflation, eating away at these bonds for 50 years, virtual certainty that whoever's holding them is going to have something that has value akin to Confederate money. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I don't know. I don't want to work anymore today. I had a rough week. Uh-huh. Why don't you just do all the rest of the program?
Oh, sure. I'll never hear the end of it. Here's one.
I'll just wait. I'm not finished.
See, I knew it was a trap. I knew. Never hear the end of it. Why don't you do all the rest of the program? I'll start to do the program, but wait, not now.
Wait.
I can
only
do the rest of the program
so.
After we close down at the top of the hour.
I just want to remind the listeners, we've been selling quite a few of the $1,700 package, December package. We're going to try to take it through the whole month without changing the price, though. Regardless of where it goes to the high side, we're going to try to keep this as long as we can. But the special includes the smallest of gold coins, the Type 1 gold dollar, and the largest, a $20 Liberty gold piece. And you will also receive a brilliant uncirculated peace dollar and, of course, the 2016 American Silver Eagle. And that will include the special Merry Christmas packaging for the Silver Eagle only. So you get a little stocking stuffer there for someone. So, you know, help with your Christmas shopping if you observe Christmas, and put in a little stocking. It makes a really nice little gift. If you want to buy them separately, just give us a call, and we'll price that out for you. But this particular package, $1,700, and includes all your shipping and insurance also. So it's a great little deal, and they're beautiful coins. I can't remember, only if someone requested them, the $1 gold piece, and they're great. They're just great little coins. They're about the size of the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and just neat little coins to pick up. And this package is the perfect thing to add to your collection. So 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Now you may continue, Al.
Pretty sure. Okay.
Depends on what you're going to talk about.
Well, I'll talk about disabled Greeks protest as more austerity looms.
Ooh.
That's a headline from the Associated Press. It says disabled people and patients with chronic illnesses from around Greece protested in central Athens Friday against austerity measures as the government races to clinch a new deal with bailout lenders. When they talk about austerity, what do they mean? Austerity describes a condition where the government cuts back on benefits, they don't provide as many services to people, and they raise taxes, and the net result is people are living on less than they had previously, and they call it austerity. But what austerity is what you get when you can't pay your bills. And two, you can't declare bankruptcy. Right? You know, I've talked about this a time or two in the past, but the problem Greece has is they're bankrupt, they're busted, and they should be allowed to file for bankruptcy. And they wanted to when they had their new president and new secretary of finance, Department of Finance. They came in a couple of years ago now, I think at least 2 years ago, maybe a little more than that. And they said we're bankrupt. But the powers that be didn't want them to file for bankruptcy. And as a result, they can't pay the bills, but they can't declare bankruptcy and get out from under them. And they are caught in a kind of debt servitude that translates into austerity. And the reason I just bring that to people's attention is we're going to see austerity here before this is done. I don't know that it'll be the same degree that they see in Greece, but we'll see something like austerity where you're going to have less income, less services from government, and you're going to still be expected to make good on the national debt and perhaps on your personal debts as well. Unemployment among people with disabilities was more than double the national jobless rate of 23%, with poverty levels also sharply higher. We want to live in dignity, one man who told the Associated Press. He's blind, and he said we want to live in dignity. It's the obligation of the government and European institutions to stop us from being further isolated, impoverished, and discriminated against. Well, everyone would like to see the blind live with greater dignity. But the truth of the matter is we are living in difficult times. We would also, people who aren't blind, would like to live in more dignity and less poverty and less austerity. And we are now in a situation, you see it in Greece, and I think you're going to see it here in this country, where we have lived off the future for a generation or more. We've been just writing as checks against the future, borrow, borrow, borrow. Leave the bill for the kids. Well, guess what? We wind up being the generation, or the beginning of the generation, speaking of myself, we're the ones that are going to have to pay these bills. We're the ones who are going to be expected to pay these bills. And we can't. Right? And it's going to create a problem. The government is going to be squeezed. They're going to say, okay, less entitlements, less subsidies. We're going to have to cut back on what we pay out. We're going to have to increase at least our revenue, maybe by raising taxes, maybe by borrowing more. But everybody's in a bind, and it's because we were foolish as a nation. We've been living off debt and debt and debt, and we've now reached a point where we're pretty close to where the debt is going to have to be paid or it's going to have to be repudiated. And either way, it's going to cause great problems. And the blind and the people who are disabled in Greece, they want the government and the European institutions to help them. And I'm going to sit back and say it's just not likely to happen. As a people, the Greeks have played the fool. Right? And they're going to be held accountable to that, and it won't matter whether they're blind or disabled. They're still going to be held accountable. There's going to be a difficult time. There's already a difficult time in Greece, and it's not going to be escaped as long as these debts remain. The left-led government has struggled to meet strict conditions for the release of more funds under the country's third international bailout. Greece has relied on bailout rescue loans since 2010, and in return has had to overhaul its economy and implement painful spending cuts and tax hikes. Again, painful spending cuts and tax hikes, that's austerity. And Greece should never have taken these bailouts. You know, when you're in a bind and you're going broke, and you grasp at straws, and you say, all right, if I can get somebody to lend me some money, I think I can get out of this. Maybe you can. But maybe the smarter thing is just say, look, I've made a big mistake. I need to declare bankruptcy, get out from under, and start to rebuild again. Because if you can't get out from under these debts, the national debt, it's not going to be paid. As long as we continue to try to pay it, however, we are going to be impoverished. We're going to take them, you're going to try to pay a debt that you can't pay. You keep trying and trying and trying, and the money that you spend out of your income to pay the debt is going to be money that you might have used to make the mortgage payment on your house or buy a new car or whatever. Right? And bankruptcy is not a good thing, but If you really are in a position where you can't pay the debt, bankruptcy is, it should be. It's certainly something people need to think about, and they have to, and the world has to recognize that people and nations that are going bankrupt are not going bankrupt simply because they've been incompetent, foolish, ignorant. That's a lot to do with it. But they've also been seduced into this with a debt-based monetary system. Fiat drachmas and fiat euros and fiat dollars, they are all debt-based. We can't keep running up the debt, running up the debt, running up the debt without having a day, without meeting a day where somebody says, how about you pay your debt? And everyone's going to sit back and say, what? Pay the debt? We don't have to pay the debt. Who said? I never expected we were actually going to have to pay our debts. Is that crazy talk or what? It's going to make for a difficult situation. And if the people want dignity, the blind, the disabled, whatever, if they really want dignity in Greece, they also have to accept some kind of responsibility. They should have been accepting it for several decades, avoided going into the debt, avoided living beyond their means. And if they had been more responsible, then today they could have more dignity. That's true for Greece, and it will be true for us. The solution to the problem is we're going to have to be more responsible. And
you talked about earlier about the debt in this country going higher, and I think about the agreement with Carrier yesterday. I mean, don't people realize that the tax credits that they get have to be paid by the people of that state? Property taxes will go higher. Somebody has to pay it. And
or they have to cancel the debt. But if they cancel the debt, again, there's the problem. If we do, because we have a debt-based monetary system, cancel the debt, you cancel the correlative paper debt instruments,
the bonds that
monetize that.
But in the meantime, taxes are going to go higher. Doesn't matter how many places. Doesn't matter how many places they just cut taxes on one area and increase them someplace else, and they'll inch them up just a little bit, and you know. And again, where is it going to stop?
Stop sometime after Trump takes office, and we have to start to deal with reality rather than.
And again, those people had their job saved, half of them, and it didn't stop another. And yet, the corporation who owns Carrier, United Technologies, again, gets billions and billions of dollars from the Department of Defense, I think it is, from the government, with contracts. So how many of those contracts are they going to get? Well, they won't even have to compete.
Well, that was... So, I don't know if they have to compete or they don't have to compete, but my understanding is that Trump has at least threatened to say, look, you're not going to sell us another air conditioner. You move your plant, take your jobs with you, and the rest of that, you're not going to sell any more air conditioners to the federal government.
Well, United Technologies does a lot more than just air conditioners. That's just Carrier as a subsidiary. United Technologies, I mean, they're heavily into the defense and so forth. So that's where they get the billions and billions of dollars. But people don't know that Carrier is owned by United Technologies. Few do. Most people who listen to alternative media do, but mainstream media out there, I mean the mainstream populace out there, the general populace, they don't know that. You know, they just hear what they hear from TV and so forth. So,
and on the internet, don't forget the internet, Melody.
No, because you have to search on the internet. So unless it pops up in their normal media, they won't know. So
that might be on Twitter. Might be on Twitter or Facebook.
Everybody refers to just Carrier. You know, 90% of the population will just know it as Carrier. The employees know, but anyway, the point is, and that's why I get discouraged. But I'll tell you what, Al, I watched President-elect Trump when he was doing a rally last night, and I don't know who writes his speeches, but I'll tell you what, they are incredible speeches. I mean, it does give you those Reagan moments where you feel that optimism. It's like, yeah, we're gonna kick butt. You know, we're tired of taking it anymore. We're gonna kick butt. We're gonna take it back. And then after the speech and, you know, and so forth, it's like, okay, reality sinks in and this is the truth and so forth.
I need somebody to give me another fix. I need another speech. I'll give us another speech.
But he has incredible, and he has learned to the way he presents those speeches, the way he delivers those speeches anymore, he has become very good.
Well, he's a showman, that's for sure.
And yeah, and I was just like, yeah, you know what? And so anyway, here we are. And I'm still positive, but Anyway,
yeah, it's one of those things, though.
I am
hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm positive. I'm optimistic on one level. I want to be, but I keep looking. Wait. Yeah. What about? You know.
What about this?
I hate to be the guy that's kind of party pooper in this situation, but I'm still saying, look, the debt's too great to be paid, and that makes problems that are just insurmountable. This can't be easily escaped. And we were reading just a moment ago comments from.
It's just not the debt. It's that there's solutions that they sound great, but when you start putting it on pen and pencil and start figuring and then adding in the amount of debt that we have, it just doesn't seem to.
Well, if Trump may be able to make a happiest kingdom of them all speech. But again, we were talking about Steve Mnuchin, who is his appointee to be Secretary of the Treasury.
Goldman Sachs.
And he's talking about 50 to 100-year bonds. Right, and he's saying sooner or later the interest rate has to rise, not for a couple of years, but when it does, it's going to be big trouble. Huh? He didn't use the words big trouble, but that's what it means. If you read it, he says, again, because eventually we're going to have higher interest rates, and that's something this country will need to deal with. When he says need to deal with, he's not saying, you know, this is going to be an interesting little challenge. He said, this is going to be trouble. Or at least that's the way I read it. And I think which is to say, Mr. Mnuchin is probably more in agreement with what we talk about on this program than he is with Donald Trump's speech. He probably understands that there's more to what's happening than just delivering, you know, a happy days are here again speech.
Everybody.
It's going to take more than that to actually solve our problems.
Everybody knows. They know. And Federal Reserve, you know, but they will take every drip they can from the printing presses and do whatever they need to do until their fingers fall off. And hopefully, you know, some of that additional funds will go into infrastructure and so forth. But inflation is coming, folks.
I understand that. You know, oil is coming, Melody.
A break.
But it's all about 30 seconds away. And do you have anything to fill the 30 seconds?
I'm sure you do.
No, I really don't.
I'm winging it right now.
I'm winging it right now, Melody. And I'm watching the clock tick down.
Well, let me finish. 1-800-375-4188. Remember, folks, we got some great specials going on. Silver Eagles, you can get the 2017s. You can lock them in next week. Price is good through. We can deliver them in January, but I say don't wait. Just get 2016s. The dates don't make any difference. But anyway, unless you're looking for a tube or two, I hear the music.
Folks,
we're going to break.
Yes, we're going to break. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melanie Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article from Fox News. And this is infuriating. The headline is Obama Administration Stiff Arms Lawmakers Questioning Secret Refugee Deal. Nearly 2,500 refugees from terrorism hotspots around the world are bound for the United States after being rejected by Australia, but not even top lawmakers can get any answers about who they are. In an unprecedented move, the U.S. State Department has classified details on refugees to be resettled in America via a secret deal made with Australia. Now get this. The Australians say, we don't want these people. I don't know why they don't want them, right? But at least a percentage of them are Muslims coming from apparently terrorist hotspots. They're going to be trouble, and the Australians say, we don't want it. Give it to the Yankees. Give it to the gringos. The Americans, let them deal with them. And apparently, the Obama administration has gone along with this. In an unprecedented move, U.S., again, I already read that, but they classified details on refugees to be resettled in America via a secret deal made with Australia. The bilateral deal, which Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull called a one-off. He's saying this is just one, we're only going to do it one time. This involves 2,465 people currently being held in Papua New Guinea and Nauru, and who will now be transferred onto U.S. soil. According to Center for Immigration Studies fellow Don Barnett, he said this is a backroom deal, wheeling and dealing with another country's refugee problem. I don't believe for a moment it's a one-time deal. That's for public consumption. In other words, what he's saying, yeah, they'll bring in 2,500 this time, and next time they'll bring in 5,000, and the time after that, who knows? And we're not even vetting these people to see. We're not even looking. We're just bringing them in. They're coming from trouble spots. A significant percentage are Muslims. I don't know if they all are, some are, but a significant percentage are presumably Muslims. And we're just going to take them in. Sure, what the heck. I think the reason is because we have a Muslim in the White House. I think that's the reason for this. All right, who's willing to go along with this? No one who gave a darn about this country would allow this deal to go through. Representatives from the Grassley-Goodat Committee, that's in Congress, are set to revive a classified briefing on the Australian refugee deal next week. However, numerous questions could remain shielded from public view, including costs, timing, benefit to the United States, and perhaps most importantly, why it was done in secret. It is impossible to look at this and say, well, they're going to bring 2,500 new refugees into this country from terrorist hotspots, but it's all going to be okay. They've all been properly vetted, and they're all Christians. See? And they all go to church on Sunday and whatever. No. We don't have any information on these people at all, and it has to be that the reason for the secrecy is there are attributes, characteristics of the people that are being brought in here. It's 2,500 people that are going to be refugees that are going to be brought, resettled in this country. They have political baggage that the American people will not stand for if they can find out what's going on. It's the sort of thing that is, the sort of thing that's infuriating, for me at least. And it's exactly the kind of treachery, treason, contempt that I expect from the Obama administration. They'll just do what they want to do. They are essentially lawless. and they are without obligation to the American people. They don't have any obligation to protect this country. They are acting on a regular basis. How are we well served? By bringing in 2,500 refugees. The Australians don't want them. They got them, but they don't want them. So they're going to dump them on us. How are we well served by that?
They've been bringing in refugees for a long, long
time. Oh, I understand. It's not a new thing, but it's a story.
Hey, look at the guy in Ohio. He's been here for how long?
Are you talking about Mr. Pence?
No.
I thought he was from Somalia.
The Somali refugee.
Yeah, I understand.
Who drove the into the university? Mm-hmm. The vehicle. I can't recall his name right now. He was a refugee, I believe.
Oh, that's
from Somalia.
Right.
He's been here for years, a lot longer than the Obama administration.
And what's the lesson?
So this is just something that's been going on for a very long time. It's just,
and
I'm not supporting Obama in any means, but it's just.
It has to be stopped.
It has to be stopped
because it is dangerous to this nation and the people that make this happen. They say they're just humanitarians. I don't believe that for a minute. They are endeavoring to balkanize this country. I saw that Buffalo, New York, the school district, has something like 250 different languages that they teach in. This is insane. This is insane. This is a formula for national destruction. If you're coming to this country, you learn English or you live a second-rate life. We are not going to accommodate your foreign languages. Shouldn't do it at all. Should not be an accommodation for them. And to hell with the humane and the rest of this stuff. We'll do what's right for this country. And if you can't, if you don't want to go along with it, fine. Don't come by. Stay where you are. Syria. Stay in Iraq. Stay in wherever you want to be.
Well,
you're not coming here to speak your language.
This is one reason why Mr. Trump was elected, to see if those borders can. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in 2017.
The problem even there, we shouldn't have to wait to see what's going to happen. There should be people in positions of power who have brains enough to see.
Yeah, but we know that there.
This is
we
stupid,
know that, Al, but
spiking
we know
the punch at your eighth grade grader's graduation party. All right, you're going to get a bunch of drunken kids, and it's going to be a bad situation. It doesn't. Well, you can't. Let's give them all alcohol to see what happens. Let's not give them all alcohol, because somebody's got to have brains enough to say this is going to be a bad thing. And you should be able to see that. We have people in Congress, people in the Senate, people in the White House. They should be able to see, and I'm sure they do, that this will be a bad thing for the United States of America. But they do it anyway, knowing it's going to be bad, because in the end they are globalists, and they are prepared to destroy this country in order to create one world government. And we're supposed to just sit back, and to a large extent we do. We go along with it. We put up with it. We hope. Maybe we need to stop hoping and actually take some action.
Well, you know what, Al? And we voted Mr. Trump in to see what he can do. So votes do matter.
Well, they matter.
And being proactive does matter. And we've seen it happen. Do you know how many times I hear, it doesn't matter if you vote anymore? I know I have a lot of clients who didn't vote for Mr. Trump. They voted for third parties. They wrote in. And so forth. But the majority, at least half of the population, did vote for him, and it did make a difference. So we'll have to see if he follows through.
One establishment figure out of the White House. That was one thing. The White House did not go to the establishment.
The change happened. So now we are expecting change, and we'll have to wait and see if it does happen.
But it's the kind of change
that should have
happened 20 years ago.
You know, we talk about this, but it's interesting to see what's happening up there in the Dakotas. One of my clients told me, he says, I think, was it December 4th or December 5th? There's major things going up there. I had no idea that some of the things that he was telling me about was going on up there. And so with the pipeline and the Lakotas and the Indians up there. So and I know they're all for the pipelines, and supposedly these Indians don't have a chance. You know, you don't hear anyone in government taking charge of that and you know, sending, I guess it did go through the court once. I don't know if it went out to the Supreme Court or not, but anyway.
Anyway, the world is crazy and you can't get straight answers exactly. It's hard to get straight answers. It's hard to know what's really going on, and that may explain. Here's an article from Ms. Shedlock's Global Economic Trend Analysis. It says, trust in mainstream media dips to record low. All right, a Gallup poll shows the trust in mainstream media fell to a record low of 32%. Trust has been on the decline since 1972, and that's when they started to follow trust in the mainstream media. Americans' trust and coincidence and confidence in the mass media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly has dropped to its lowest level in Gallup polling history, with 32%, one out of three, saying they have a great deal or fair amount of trust in the media. This is down 8 percentage points from last year, meaning last year 40% had a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the media. This year it's only 32%. It's 8 percentage points down, but that's a 20% decline compared to what we had last year, if you catch my drift. It had 40%, fell to 32%, 8% on a percentage basis, but on a numerical basis, I guess you could say, but as a percentage of trust, the people of trust are 20% fewer people who trust the mainstream media today than there were a year ago. Gallup began asking these questions about trust in 1972 on a yearly basis since 1997. Over the history of the entire trend, Americans' trust and confidence hit its highest point in 1976 at 72%, in the wake of widely lauded examples of investigative journalism regarding Vietnam and the Watergate scandal. You know, we went through all that trauma. That's an interesting point, because we went through all that trauma during Vietnam and Watergate, and there was a lot of criticism of the mainstream media, at least by government. There were extraordinary stories, dangerous stories that were reported. And it turns out that in the midst of all this obvious trouble, Vietnam, all right, and Watergate, the media rose to the occasion and actually delivered something that the public took a certain amount of pride in. Now, since then, we have been losing confidence. The article continues, it says, and staying in the low mid-50s through the late 1990s and into the early lows of the new century, America's trust in the media has fallen slowly and steadily. It has currently been below a majority level, meaning under 50% since 2007, which is the last year of the Bush administration, and essentially marks the beginning of the Obama administration. It's continued to slide, in other words, under the Obama administration. And this goes to mainstream media is here to bamboozle us to some degree. And everyone understands that. We are getting propaganda rather than news. And it's tough to tell the difference between the two. It's tough to say this is the line right here. On this side is news. On this side is propaganda. The line is fuzzy. But just the same, everybody understands we're being bamboozled, and that's why, or most people understand it, and that's why two-thirds of the population don't trust the mainstream media. And what's the solution? Somebody's going to have to act, and the mainstream media is actually going to have to go after characters like Hillary Clinton. They're going to have to push for impeachment if she's still in office, or trials if she's out. Right? They're going to have to look for people in Congress, in the Senate, and the federal courts. And it's just going to happen in large measure if this can be led by the mainstream media, it can be made to happen. And if the mainstream media keeps silent, then the probability that people are going to be held accountable for their misdemeanors and felonies is not high. Melody's talking about there's news coming out of the Dakotas on the pipeline. It changes, but we're not getting them. We're not hearing about it.
Actually,
it's evidence that the media is maintained, manipulated, controlled, and it does not inspire our confidence. And therefore, people wind up looking to programs they find on the Internet. Which is not to say that the Internet, the only thing you can find there is true. There's stuff on there that's embarrassingly bad. But still,
actually,
there's a place to hunt. There's a place to hunt for the truth. If you want it, it's there. You may have to make the effort to find it, but if you want that truth, you may be able to find it in the internet. And it's not only a question of the internet, for example, or alternative media. It really involves your own capacity for discernment, which means you don't automatically believe what somebody says. You consider and sit back and say, well, does this sound like it might be true, or do you think it's false? And if you do that enough, you eventually refine your ability to discern. And you can reach a point where you say, well, this sounds like a bunch of crapola. I think this is true over here, or mostly true. But it's up to you. It's not just up to you to find somebody that's telling the truth all the time. It's up to you to make it your business to learn how to discern, or more clearly discern what the truth may be and who is fooling you, who's trying to exploit you, who's trying to tell you the truth. So it's up to some people to try to tell the truth. It's up to the other people in the audience to try to understand what is true also. So mutual agreement between some broadcasters, some publishers, and some people in the audience. You know, we have to work together to try to find the truth and agree on what it is. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.